This is the 930 WFMD Weekend Free Talk Express, featuring highlights from local talk shows.
And thanks for joining us for this week's edition of another Weekend Free Talk Express, where we bring you some of the highlights from our local talk shows on WFMD from the morning and afternoon. And we begin, as usual, with the Morning News Express, when Bob Miller recently had a conversation with Frederick City's Chief of Police, Jason Lando.
You have brought somebody with you. Let's get the fun stuff out of the way. It's chief for a day. How do I get in on that?
Well, you can't. However, my officers and our professional staff have the ability to sign up for a Chief for a Day program. And today we have Sergeant Reed Priest, one of our rock star supervisors in the department. But you can call him Chief Priest while we're in the studio.
Chief Priest, welcome. Tell us, did you draw the short straw, or is this something you really actually went for?
So it's an initiative I signed up for. So I get the opportunity to see what the chief does and see if that's something I'm interested in the future.
I didn't have to threaten him. I just have to buy him lunch. That's it.
No, well, there's nothing wrong with that. So then it will direct all the gotcha questions to the chief of the day, right?
Absolutely.
He's ready to roll, man.
No, I'm good.
Let's talk a little bit. So what does the chief of the day, I want to just ask the Chief Priest, what are your expectations from this? And so far, I mean, this is probably the first thing you've done this morning. I don't know. And what are your takeaways so far?
Takeaways are just to see, you know, his perspective and see some of the things the senior leadership does here at FPD.
Do you, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, if you don't mind, and it's not really a gotcha question, but I mean, sometimes the rank and file may have a different perspective of what the chief does. Do you believe that being part of this program may change that, and will you try to, you know, discuss that with other members of the department?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, especially my role as a supervisor, being kind of that intermediary between the command staff and the officers, it'll be good to, you know, translate some of that information on what they do or vice versa, what the officers experience to the command staff. So now, good opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope that you don't get in trouble, because I'm going to ask you another question. What do you think I don't want to get him in trouble. I just want him to, but I would like an honest answer, is that from somebody who is a supervisor, but also rank and file, what do you see as issues that the police, somebody who is a supervisor, but also rank and file, what do you see as issues that the police have to deal with in Frederick, and if you would be the chief, and you are for the day, how would you attack some of those issues?
That's a large, you know, open-ended thing. I think we do a lot more things in Frederick City right than wrong. We have the support of our community, as well as a lot of initiatives within our agency. We get a lot of opportunities to attend training, facilitate training, whether that training's grant-funded or department-funded. We have a lot of opportunities for that. So I think we're a progressive, you know, resourceful agency. A lot of our officers are flexible and adaptive, and we get that from the support of our community and leaders.
One of the stories, Chief Lando, that we're reading about today is a Frederick man who was sentenced Wednesday on child pornography offenses. George Gutman, 41, given 20 years, all but 18 suspended. I'm sure there are people who believe that that maybe the punishment, sometimes all the hard work and all the efforts that you guys put into it are not getting what they want, but a part of the story was that that this is becoming a bigger issue in Frederick City, maybe the county as well, and that is the abuse and the use of children when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the technology age now, and you know, kids are really big into tech, so we know that that puts them at a higher risk, more so than ever before, of falling victims to some of these child predators. So I can say that our detectives at FPD, I mean, really in the whole region, but our detectives at FPD do a phenomenal job at investigating these crimes and getting whatever sentences we can get. You know, we're not always thrilled with the with the accountability piece and how long someone's sentenced to jail on these serious charges. But I think our detectives do a heck of a job at holding them accountable to the best of our abilities.
You know, Bob brings up a really good point about that. And I have two young girls, and I kind of wonder, I know you don't do all the schools in the county, you just take care of the Frederick City School as far as school resource officer. Is there something maybe in the works down the road? Of course, I know parents would have to be involved in this too, where you would kind of discuss with the older kids what to do in that situation if you feel uncomfortable around people or if somebody approaches you from a police perspective.
Our SROs are very, very engaged with the kids in schools. I mean, I've actually had the chance to shadow some of them and go to some events, and they're really seen as mentors to these. You know, you see some of these articles around the country where people are afraid of having police in schools. Well, our officers aren't there to police the kids. They're there to protect them, and they're there to mentor them. So I am, you know, I don't know exactly what conversations are going on day to day, but I can tell you that our officers care deeply, and I'm sure that they're having those conversations. And having those eyes and ears in the school is invaluable.
We are talking with Chief Jason Lando and Chief Forday, Sergeant Reed Priest on the Morning News Express. And it kind of goes back. I'm going to go back to, you know, having the say of any. There was another story that I wrote down over, you know, I kind of know when you're coming on, so I kind of try to hold on some stories. But a man who got 50 years for murder, drug charges, gang activity, and my question was, again, what say, if any, do you have those conversations with, say, the state's attorney or somebody in the state's attorney's office that says, and they're like, hey, you know, we think that we're going to go for 10 years, 25 years or whatever. And you're like, dude, this guy needs 50 years.
Is this for Chief Priest or Chief Lando?
Chief Lando.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into a plea agreement. And so, I don't want to comment or disparage anyone. There are certain times where we disagree with the outcome, with the sentence. But there are a lot of other factors that go into play. And one of those things is, you know, the risk that sometimes you take when you go to trial. And sometimes, you know, we agree to a little bit of a light. And when I say we, I mean the prosecution in general, not necessarily the police officers, where, hey, if we go to trial, it's a roll of the dice. Plus, sometimes we have to put the victims, it re-traumatizes the victims. So sometimes we offer maybe a little bit of a lighter sentence in exchange for a guilty plea, so we know that person's being held accountable and going to jail. It doesn't always sit well with us, but we know that there's a lot of things that go into play. It's not as cut and dry as it as sometimes seems. There have been many cases I've been involved in personally prior to coming here where I wasn't happy at all with the amount of time the person got, but it was sure as heck was better than a jury perhaps finding them not guilty and them walking.
So there's a, you know, a give and take then, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it's not as cut and dry as sometimes as it should be, but you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a give and take.
Story from the other day. We're talking with the chiefs of police. Chief Jason Lando's in the studio, and he brought a chief for the day, Sergeant Reed Priest. There was a stabbing, and the police are investigating of a stabbing death of a man who was found at Mount Olivet Cemetery a bit ago. And I'm kind of wondering, I know you're investigating the case, but is there any significance to the fact that he was found there or not?
So all I can tell you, actually, this morning when I got word that you were going to be looking for an update on this, I did call our supervisors over at Major Crimes. And, you know, we can't release everything, but what I can tell you as of yesterday, actually, is that it has been deemed not to be a homicide and there is no risk to the public. And so that's really the only update I can give you, but it was not a homicide.
I thought that was odd, man. Of all places, a cemetery. I don't recall hearing that before.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that it was a stabbing? Did the guy stab himself?
I really can't go into any more details. I know we still have some notifications to make, talking to the family and whatnot. But just as of about 5 minutes ago, I got the update that yesterday afternoon it was finally found to be not a homicide. So we don't have anyone out there running around looking to do harm to anyone.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
Another story that I saw and a while back, before you were probably here, Chief, and Sergeant Reed Priest, I don't know how long you have been with the department, but there was a time when it was like, well, when Narcan was first being handed out for the police to use, I remember I had some friends in the Sheriff's Department. They were unsure whether or not they wanted to actually administer it because they didn't know if there was going to be any repercussions if something happened when they administered it. We now know how much it does effectively when it comes to people who have OD'd. Now we have it as an over-the-counter, maybe, and more of a nasal spray. Do you believe at all, as the police officers, that this might kind of increase the usage of heroin and other drugs because now they can just have somebody with it in their pocket over-the-counter?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I think what it comes down to, what we got to look at it is, it's just about saving lives. So, like, I can't, you know, I'm not the one, Reed isn't the one to judge whether or not, you know, it would, whether we think it ultimately increases consumption or not. That's kind of for someone else to figure out. But our job every day is to go out there and save lives. And if we have this resource, you know, we have to take advantage of it. We have to use it. You know, I think I understand where you're coming from. Like, we want to make sure that people aren't using this as a crutch and instead of getting out of that predicament that they're in and getting help, that they're not, you know, feeling comfortable continuing to use drugs because of that. We want to get people the help they need. But when it comes down to why the police are carrying it, I mean, our job is every day to go out there and keep the community safe and save lives. And so that's why we carry it.
Sergeant Priest?
Yeah, I don't think there's any data out there to show that the increase in or the prevalence of Narcan in the community is increasing the numbers of use. I think there's other factors, a lot more factors that go into it, like how people are getting hooked on drugs in the first place. So I think, you know, having it as a readily resource for people, you know, to use in crisis is a good thing. The health department distributes it to the fire department. I know our numbers of what we've used with our personnel has actually decreased, as well as the number of overdose incidents, you know, in the past year.
And the Weekend Free Talk Express continues. I'm Frank Mitchell and Tim May and I on Mid-Maryland Live, weekday afternoons between 3 and 6. Don't often agree on a lot of issues. On this, though, we both kind of had the same question on a local issue. And if you live in the northern part of Frederick County especially,
okay,
let me know if you understand why.
Okay.
Some Frederick County residents are pushing back against a proposed agricultural center.
An ag center?
To me, this sounds, it's a Department of Parks and Rec thing, bringing an agricultural center the county.
I don't know what an ag center is, to be honest with you.
Be used mostly for agricultural activities. There'd be a small equestrian horse element to it. It's not just a, you know, they say a random kind of equestrian park. It's going to be educational resource for the community for all ages. But apparently some nearby residents are concerned about the size and the park being used for horse shows that could increase traffic. I mean, this is not some industry who wants to move there and billow out, you know, awful pollution into the air or anything like that. It's a park.
Well, it must be a huge to have an equestrian center to mount anything if you're going to have shows. Yeah, that does.
But doesn't that sound cool, an equestrian center?
Well, it does to me. I don't live in that part. There's got to be more to the story that, and I'm not saying you missed something. It's just what we have to talk to somebody from that part of the county. Thurmont area, is that where it is, Frank? Thurmont?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're from that area, Greg, Sam, Rocky Ridge, and you know anything about this, why is there such a pushback on something such as an when you're not even calling it an equestrian, it's called an agricultural center? Ag center.
It's a park.
Do we have another ag
center? Like the other parks, that's just its specialty.
Well, do we have another ag center somewhere in the county so I could compare
it? I don't believe so. That's another reason why, to me, it sounds like a pretty good thing. But
again, on the surface, it sounds great. And I'm such an outdoorsman there.
But apparently, some nearby residents are concerned about traffic.
Well, I guess that's a fair Well,
one resident there said that I'm concerned about the whole size of the park because it's a beautiful park and there's parts of it that has been untouched. If we can just control the size of the park, maybe we can control the size of the road and the traffic on it.
Well, people have to get to the parks, don't they? I mean,
this is not high density housing, though. This is not big retail expansion. This is,
and I can see where it can be busy.
An ag park with an equestrian center.
Yeah, I can't see it being like 24 hours a day traffic running up and down. And again, do you have an area, an address, Frank? Off of what road or that road I can
get? No, I'll see what I can find. But
yeah, well, if you're up in the area, again, we have listeners up there, with quite a few listeners. If you would let us know why that this is being fought or why there's a fight here that surprises me and Frank. I don't know, Frank, because it doesn't sound like it's anything negative other than they don't want traffic, but...
I mean, this is not spring break, you know, at an agricultural park in Frederick County.
Well, that'd be cool if it was. But,
as far as rowdiness and traffic.
Yeah. What does John have to say, Frank?
That's John.
John, what have you to say?
Hello, Brother Tim and Brother Frank.
Amish John. Yes, sir. You're familiar with this agriculture park of the horses?
I am. My father actually lives not too far from where they're talking about possibly putting this thing.
Where is it? What's the location? Not your dad, but
it's
the park.
General Thurmont area, right?
Well, stop it. It's got to be more than a general. Amish John, where is it?
From my understanding, it is supposed to be where the old, I don't know what it's called, kind of where back where the wineries and all that are and the small little horse farms that are back there currently.
Yeah.
I think that's where one of the spots you're looking for.
How many acres? Do you know how many acres?
64.
I don't know.
64 acres.
It's supposed to be big, but the biggest concern, at least from my father and from his neighbors and other people around, is it's just unnecessary and unwanted. They live in Thurmont because they want to live in a small town. They already feel like it's getting overdeveloped. If they want to go see agriculture, they'll go to Frederick. If they want to see horses, they can go to the horse auction every other Friday, right up the street. And what they're afraid of is not necessarily agricultural center, but what tends to follow these things, you know, more development, more people coming in, more this, more that, you know, like they want to live in a small town. If they wanted to live in a big town, they'd be living in Frederick and paying the type of ridiculous taxes I'm paying.
Well, John, is it in the city limits or outside the city?
I believe it's still considered in the city limits.
Oh, really? I didn't know they had an extra 64 acres up there anywhere. But
that's part of it too. There's still a lot of nice open area up there, and they want to kind of keep it that way. And it's not like Frederick is, you know, forever away.
No.
You know, there's plenty of places to go. There are plenty of horse farms around. There are plenty of places for people to go. It's an unnecessary expense. It's a lot of construction. It's a lot of road construction just to get back there. I mean, if you've ever driven back that way, you can barely get a horse trailer down it now.
It's kind of ironic, though. I mean, we want to get away from all the growth and development, and this is like, you know, preserving nature in a way that...
Farm part, yeah.
Whatever.
Let's see what Andy says. He might know. Andy, what say you?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing well, and I thank you for asking. What say you?
Hey, as somebody who got squeezed out of Urbana because of the development,
yes,
I say to everybody in Thurmont, if you don't like the agricultural park, go down and look what can happen to you in Urbana.
Amen.
Because 100 acres, if something positive like an agricultural park doesn't happen, houses are going to get put on it, and just look at the mess we have in Urbana.
Absolutely. It's house.
Tell us more about the mess in Urbana, Andy. I mean, why aren't you in the villages there?
I can't afford it.
Oh.
My family's been from Frederick County. We've been in Frederick County over 100 and some years. And we ended up having to move to Washington County. Just can't afford Frederick, period. Cannot afford it. You know, all these houses got built on. Urbana used to be some of the prettiest farmland in the state.
Absolutely.
And the only thing that grows there now is townhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
And it's, well, it is sad, and I understand. And And this is supposed to be a PUD, right, Frank? A planned unit development down there, but it's house on top of house. Looks like Kentland.
I agree with Andy.
It looks like Kentland. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you got an agricultural park promoting agriculture with, you know, horses and all that. And Andy's right. The alternative could be more high density housing.
Absolutely. And if you had to make a choice, they're saying they don't want to make a choice. They don't want either.
Well, nothing quite settled there, but a topic which could come up, like many others, local and national, on a call-in show called Mid-Maryland Live, weekday afternoons 3 to 6, and the Morning News Express with Bob Miller, producer Chris Michaels, every morning from 5 to 9 on WFMD. Those are some of the highlights, and we'll be back next weekend with more highlights on the Weekend Free Talk Express. Have a good rest of the weekend.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com. News Radio 930. WFMD, Frederick.
A Connoisseur Media radio station.
8 o'clock.